Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast week of January 31st, 2022. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us we have Chris.
Hello.
And we got a bunch of stuff this week, so let's jump right in. And we will kick things off with some trailers. And by far the biggest trailer, obviously, is we got the first full trailer for the Halo series that's coming next month on Paramount Plus.
I can't believe it's real.
Yeah, this is the full trailer. There's a teaser during the Game Awards in December last year. But this is the full trailer. We get you see a bunch of Chief doing stuff. You hear him. You get to see Cortana and her weird, like, realistic human,
like, Uncanny Valley form. Face.
Yeah.
Why didn't they not stick with blue hue? Just she's a hologram. Don't make her look like she's, like, a weird, like, cell phone promo person, you know? Like.
Yeah. Oof. But so Pablo Schreiber from Den of Thieves and a bunch of other stuff is American Gods and a bunch of other stuff is playing Master Chief. I'm not sure. I mean, it looks like maybe like in flashbacks, maybe we'll see him like his face or something. But it seems like maybe he's going to be pulling like a Mandalorian's kind of like just doing the voice. I don't know if he's like in the suit all the time, but
yeah, I don't know if like. He needed to be in the suit, exactly. Yeah,
because that's what the Mandalorian does a lot. It's just like there's like a stunt person in the suit, and then Pedro Pascal just does the voice until like you need to like see his face. The rare time you see his face in the Mandalorian.
I actually thought we're never gonna see his face, but then you see it a couple times.
Yeah.
The Master Chief is a lore that you never see his face, so it'd be weird to show his face. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, it could be, like, Dread, where you see his chin, and then that's it. Like,
yeah.
You know, you see that, like, a silhouette of the face, and that's it.
Well, I don't know if they're going to show, like, I mean, looks like there's
Adult John.
Or, like, flashbacks, like, he was, like, a kid being, like, trained to be, like, Master Chief, right? Or was he just, like...
Yeah, he was recruited as a boy, like a young boy.
Yeah. So I feel it seems like maybe we're gonna get some of that in the show.
Oh, we're getting tons of like young boy. That's fine, but we're not gonna get like a redheaded Master Chief.
Yeah.
Or whatever the guy's natural hair color is.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think definitely like looks like the money is on the screen. Like it looks like they're like Paramount is spending a ton of money on this thing, and it looks like it shows.
Oh yeah, I feel like this now is worth being Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I mean just like
that in Yellowstone.
I mean, it looks like there's like tons, like just like all the different like places, like planets and places they're going to, and like the like all the armor, like all like the Spartan armor and the Master Chief armor all look like right out of the game and look awesome. And we get a little bit of like the Arbiters and they look awesome.
They definitely look like they're more CGI than like realistic prop, and I'm not sure how I feel about that exactly, but I mean the puppet, unless we see like that's just like kind of like the enhanced CGI and there's some shots of them outside and then I really get to see how well it looks.
There just looks a weird like looks like there's gonna be some sort of like I saw a lot of people like being like this is like a weird departure for the games, but like it looks like there's like a human or like who and she's like controlling, I don't know if she's like controlling the Flood or controlling the Covenant or like working for the Covenant or something, but there's like,
Queen Flood person.
Yeah, there's like an evil like human character that's like working.
That is weird. I was like, what is this? She's like Queen Flood person and she's kind of bringing the Flood wherever she goes, and like that's not cool. Like the Hive Mind, which is the mastermind of the Flood, was this blob that couldn't move unless it was prepared to like spawn anew and being like, kind of dragged off. And the point was that this Hive Mind controlled the Flood from a distance. And it took like a halo to kill it. That's the point of the halo ring, is that it's a super weapon that can destroy all life forms so the flood can starve. But it can't like board as a human host and just kind of like walk around spreading more, because then the halo will be useless. Like the flood has to be isolated in one area, and then like as it grows and kind of this is deep Halo lore, like this is just kind of like, all right, like that makes sense why the planet halos are like halo rings also are sort of planets, and then they point themselves towards other planets if they need to be to destroy, eradicate all the organic life, so that way the flood doesn't take over. But then, and I'm getting to even another deep lore, this is like the dumb fourth game that they introduced, was that the other aliens were like, our weapon can also be fine-tuned to destroy like select human DNA. Like it can select not even like human, but just kind of like anyone with these DNA markers can get eradicated. And that's why it's like, well, these people are more resilient to the flood, so we can destroy organic matter that like isn't part of that, and then we can like propagate like a civilization full of like superior beings. And that's like sort of what the humans did, was they figured out like you need to be like enhanced to go beyond like regular humanity. And then there was this really, really convoluted thing they introduced in 4 and 5, where aliens in the past planted, like they did the Prometheus thing, where it's like they sort of put into the ether of life certain traits that generations later will like emerge, and it'll be like superior things, so like it evolves to surpass sort of like what they engineered. I mean, that was like cool in concept, but like how they got there was messy. So if the show's going for that, like I really want that brought early, not this like, oh yeah, we should probably kind of tie into how the flood works like at the end. All that lore I just dropped happened between like years of the game, and just sort of like pick and choose what they're gonna explain. And in the
Yeah, I
TV
don't.
show, at least sort of should get that right like out of the gate, not just sort of tease it for season 2 to explain anything.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know if this is gonna be like it doesn't seem like a like straight adaptation of like Halo 1 or
Nope.
anything.
Nope.
It's like.
They already said it's sort of like a silver timeline where they are able to pick and choose certain events and then not make it seem like Master Chief was the only Spartan left, because they did that in the first game where they're like, oh yeah, it's like he's one of the last kind. And then by Halo 4, they were like, oh yeah, there's like a few survivor. And then there's even like even more retired Spartans, like we just kind of call that a commission. And then by 5, they're like, oh yeah, we could just start making Spartans now. We figured out how to do it without the horrific like child mutilation, sort of like, oh yeah, like out of the experimental like 30, only like 10 survive. Like the Witcher
Yeah, I was gonna say
scenario.
they're like Witchers.
Yeah. But that's why I'm like, it kind of diluted Spartans. I know Spartan Fin in Halo Infinity, like there's a lot more Spartans, and then shit goes down where basically if you're playing the Halo 5 multiplayer and like or the sidelines, like that character is gone by Infinity because of like what happens in the events of Halo Infinity. So it's like a giant timeline jump, and then there's like more aggressive aliens that now sort of are on the same level as Spartans. So I'm interested, but this is jumping straight in. We're like, no, there's like multiple Spartans now. Like, I think they're going for the mix where it makes sense, where the military wouldn't just stop engineering things. Like, as soon as they get like the Master Chief, he's like, okay, that was probably like round 2. And then we're going to do round 4 of like next gen Spartans. So that's where like I feel like that's where they're mixing that now. I again, the
Yeah.
you like I said earlier, the world building sounds cool. It's just now how do we tie it together? And then why my big concern is, why did they put in like a human sidekick character to kind of like experience the show, and I feel like Master Chief is going to be like her guardian now.
Because that's what everyone's doing, Chris.
Oh my god, it's gonna, and it's just like it's the Witcher Mandalorian effect of just like, yeah. Oh, he's like a quiet, you know, warrior, and then I gotta watch over a vulnerable person.
Yeah.
So I saw that, I was like, no. Don't give me that. Give me awesome military action. Basically, make SEAL Team that's on CBS Access. Make that just Spartans.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out what it's like on March 24th. It's when Halo drops on Paramount Plus. I think Paramount Plus is weekly episodes, so it's not gonna be like a dump all episodes at once on March 24th. I think you might have to subscribe for like probably at least a month or two to watch Halo, or just wait until it's like done and then like jump on and binge it, which is probably what I'll do. I'll probably like wait till like the whole like season's done and then like grab Paramount Plus for like a month or something. But we also this week got the first full trailer for the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, which is going to be on Netflix in, I believe, just like 2 weeks. It's gonna be on February 18th on Netflix. And yeah, it is yet again another kind of reboot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which outside of Halloween, I think like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is like the most rebooted or like retconned like horror franchise ever. Because like it seems like every couple of years it's like, now this is the true sequel, or like this is the prequel, or like no those counted now, this one counts now, like, which is what they're doing with this one. So this one, this new one is basically like nothing is everything's gone except for like the original one, and they're definitely pulling a like a new Halloween trilogy thing where it's like,
oh, I got that vibe.
It's 1000% like they saw like that like the 2018 or whatever that first reboot, kind of reboot cool Halloween movie came out. We're like, well, we can do that with Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Is that lady the same girl from the first movie, or they just kind of casted another?
It's a new actress because the original actress passed away years ago. So, but yeah, but it is the same character. It's Sally Hardesty, who is the girl who survived,
last girl.
Yeah, and now she's like, they've 1000%. She's Laurie Strode now. She's on train, like basically just like preparing for like 50 years to like take on Leatherface if he shows back up, which he does, because a group of like ridiculous like influencers arrive in this like dead Texas town and like, we're gonna rebuild this town as like cool hipster like influencer town, like, and then but like that's where like Leatherface has been kind of like hiding out, or like near there he's been hiding out. So now he's like, his like peace has been disturbed. Now he's just gonna like go kill all these like social media influencers, apparently. Which, with that premise, like, you're kind of on like Leatherface's side. Like, yeah, like annoying hipsters moving to like try and like rebuild this town. Like,
I mean, I kind of want to know the world where they basically go to this dead Texas town and then get enough interest where more than two people are there, because I thought it was annoying with like the one couple, like the one group of teen friends or tween friends in there, and then it's like a whole bus full of like
people. Yeah, hipsters are like, we're gonna rebuild this Texas town
with our like cheer and our hope. Like, what?
Yeah. But so Mark Burnham is the new Leatherface, and yeah, then Fede Alvarez from who directed Evil Dead Remake and Don't Breathe is producing the movie, and then David Boob Garcia is directing it. And yeah, I mean, it looks like there's gonna be some fun stuff. Like, I definitely like to see where, like, Leatherface is on the bus and they're all just like streaming it or something, and they just start murdering them. Like,
oh, it's like, hey man, you're gonna get canceled. I think that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
I don't know if we're gonna get a lot more jokes like that.
Yeah, I wonder if the tone wise, what this like, if that's gonna be like the tone of it, like it's gonna be like this weird like dark comp, like, because like I think like definitely like the later Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies were like more like dark. They had like the dark comedic elements going on.
Well, what was the one we watched where like
we saw was that 3D? I think it was either like.
No, isn't that Texas Chainsaw like Reunion?
No, it was 3D. It was just called Texas Chainsaw, but if you saw it in like theaters in 3D, it was Texas Chainsaw 3D. I think that was the last one where it's like, oh, nothing counts except this one and the original one. This is the sequel to the original one.
Did you like Rob Zombie's Texas Chainsaw?
He didn't direct Texas Chainsaw. He directed the two Halloween movies.
No, but there was another Texas Chainsaw that I feel like Rob Zombie made, or?
No. There was like the three original, there was like the like three original ones. And then there was the, I think you're thinking like Michael Bay, I think produced some of the reboot ones.
That was a Michael Bay movie?
Oh, not a Michael Bay. He didn't direct it. He produced it. Like Platinum Dunes or whatever produced it. Like that was when like Michael Bay was like he produced like all those like horror remakes. Like I think he produced like the like new like Nightmare on Elm Street and the new Friday the 13th. All those that came out around like 2000, early 2000s. Like I think he produced those.
Wow, I forgot that. But I kind of grew up watching that one more, so I've got like more nostalgia where like it's just mindless violence.
I think so. Yeah. So that one was a full remake. So that like the 2003 Texas Chainsaw was a remake, and then there was the prequel to that one, and then there was Texas Chainsaw 3D, which was a sequel to the original one, and then the last one before this new one on Netflix was Leatherface, which was like the prequel to the original one.
Does this count then? Like, if it is this part of the canon then?
I thought I read like, this new Netflix one is basically gonna do like is gonna like do just do is doing like a Halloween, and it's just the only movie that counts now like for this one is the original one.
Not even the movie they made, like the prequel movie.
That one came out like a couple years ago. I don't even think anyone saw that movie. Like the prequel one.
Well, I feel like that's a movie we'll watch one day.
And it took so long to like put that movie out that like Lionsgate and like lost the rights to Texas Chainsaw. So now that's why we have this new one. So Legendary is has the rights to Texas Chainsaw now. So.
Then Netflix bought the rights.
Well, yeah, I mean they.
Or distributed.
It's a Netflix original. So. But yes.
Wake me up when the Amazon original first shows up.
Oh, I'm sure you can't just like leave Texas Chainsaw like lying around. You're like someone always has to do something with it, either like rebooting it or making a new like official sequel to the original one. But yeah, we'll find out in 2 weeks how this one is. So keep an eye on Netflix for that one. And then moving on to some other news, we got some news this week that Rawson Marshall Thurber, who most recently, speaking of Netflix stuff, most recently brought us a Red Notice. And is gonna be directing like those two sequels to Red Notice, but he's going to be direct like overseeing like a big like Dungeons and Dragons series. He's gonna be writing and directing like the pilot and then direct and then like it's apparently this is like they want like Hasbro who like owns the right to the D&D now and then they want like a big kind of like. D&D TV universe with like multiple shows and stuff. So it's basically they're basically trying to make like a D&D cinematic universe. Which is weird because like there was already
like a grand scale, but they don't want to spend a lot of money. I feel like that's gonna be the business pitch.
Yeah, and there's already a TV show like a year ago that like Derek Kolstad from John Wick was like attached to like write, I think. And then there's also like there's supposed to be a move that movie is supposed to be coming soon too, like Chris Pine starring in it. That we haven't really heard much about, like we heard some stuff like last year, and then we haven't really heard anything else about that since.
Yeah, I forgot that was a topic that they wanted to do, you know, like a D&D movie. But it's like, yeah, I feel like everyone's been like they've been always trying to pitch that idea.
Yeah, the guys who directed Game Night are supposed to be like directing this movie. This engineering movie, which I don't know if it's anything to do with the new show or like this new or this new universe of shows that Asper wants to make, but I think there's a bunch of like because I think Netflix has a Magic the Gathering show coming soon, so like all these like kind of like RPG or like kind of legacy games are getting like show like or like universes are getting shows.
That's cool, you know, especially you've been a fan of these, if people have been fan of these for a while, and they're excited to see it come to life.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they kind of missed the boat on that D&D because there's that other show that's on Amazon Prime, the like Critical Role. That's
Vox Machina or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
The comic series is pretty good from what I understand. I haven't read it, but. The fandom's pretty good. The comic looks awesome. Don't know who's who, but it looks fun.
Well, speaking of Amazon, like maybe when the Lord of the Rings show comes out, then maybe they'll like jumpstart a new like round of like we gotta get fantasy stuff. We gotta get like big epic fantasy stuff going. Although I guess we've been in that since like Game of Thrones. Like people are trying to like find a new Game of Thrones or something. So
yeah, but then when that imploded, so we were like, thank God.
Yeah.
But there's still a little leftovers. There's still like shows that are like, it's like Game of Thrones, but you know.
Yeah. It's like The Witcher is obviously the most successful one. But there's been a bunch of other ones that are like what was Wheel of Time was just on Prime Video and stuff. And like
it's in the same idea of The Witcher. I mean, but it's from what I understand, it's very like, I think more like Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, yeah, that one's more like kind of Lord of the Rings style, I think. And then like, was Netflix has like what's that one, Shadow and Bone or something?
Oh, I forgot about Shadow and Bone.
But yeah, I guess there's no apparently there's a lot of people like interested in this new like D&D show. There's not like it hasn't been sold to anyone yet, so I guess we'll have to see if this ends up where this ends up or if it ends up anywhere and what's going on with these other like D&D projects. But we also this week got some word about another TV show in development. There's going to be a American McGee's Alice show possibly coming to the small screen with David Hayter writing it and then possibly like directing it or doing something else with it as well. But it's going to be based on the original game plus the 2011 sequel Alice Madness Returns.
That's like easy enough for two seasons.
Yeah.
Have you played any of the games?
I haven't played them. I've seen some of them. So and I've seen like the gist of it, but yeah, I haven't played either of them. I've heard visually they're like amazing, but then like gameplay wise maybe they're not that great, especially going back to them now.
One yeah. Is very basic. One looks like Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
And then two got like an overhaul, but it's very like budgety feeling gameplay wise. The CGI work when they did like the promotions are awesome. They're like very horrific and like surprising. It's like you see this like really quick glimmer of like Alice with a knife and she's like stabbing something. There's all this blood like pouring out and it's just like what? It's like Alice 2, Madness Returns. Like, what? So, I'm kind of like, I'm on the fence with that, because I'm not a big fan, but I like the idea of a twisted Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, and I think it could definitely work as a show. Like, yeah, this like crazy violet twisted Alice in Wonderland. No, like streamer or like network has picked it up yet. So this is, I think it's pretty early, so far with it. But so David Hayter's gonna write it, and then American McGee is apparently on board. I don't know like what, if he's like doing a lot with it, but like he's kind of just like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, cool. Like, I think he might be like just like have some sort of like producer role or something, or like maybe like do sub strip stuff, like maybe like look over whatever David Hayter writes and be like, all right, this is good.
Yeah, he does a lot of writing. It's just, I kind of wish like most of his works get past that draft. So it's like he wrote a lot of things.
Yeah,
he knows
like
how to write deep.
Yeah, like X-Men and Watchmen and Scorpion King.
So it's just, I just want to see like those, yeah. where his next project actually takes off. I think he also wrote like a treatment for, I want to say, The Boys too. Like he just kind of writes things and just pitches, you know, whatever.
So we also this week got some news about Fast 10 or whatever it's going to be called. It's called F10, the Fast Saga, or whatever the name is going to be for that crazy series. But Jason Momoa has joined the Fast family. It seems like he's possibly going to be like one of the new antagonists up against the Dom and the gang.
I know he's the antagonist.
That's what they're saying. Like he's gonna be like probably like one of the main either the main villain or like one of the main villains.
I mean, that's better. I hope he's not like a henchman, because I feel like his days of henchmaning is over. Now it's like he's the main or nothing at all.
Unless he's gonna hench to like Charlize Theron or something.
Okay, whatever.
Cypher's new plot is, because obviously she's gonna be back. I don't think they officially said she's back, but she's like the main villain now. Like she has to be back. Unless they're just gonna like Thanos it and be like, there's gonna be like, she's not gonna be in the 10, and then they're just gonna like have like after credit scene of like set up the final Fast and Furious Endgame, where it's like. Because I think there's only two left. I think it's 10 and 11 are the last two, and that's it.
Then they fulfilled their contract. Or it's the final. I don't know what the number for like that many movies is called.
The 11-ology.
Well, do you count Hobbs and Shaw?
I don't think Vin Diesel counts Hobbs and Shaw. Do you count Fast and Furious Spy Racers, the Netflix cartoon?
Oh my god. And that's like, I always forget, that's Dom's cousin or brother, or like another one or something like that.
I think it's his cousin, yeah, who got recruited by like the CIA. Like, was it, isn't this set up that one like Mr. Nobody like recruits like this like group of like, kids to like be spies or something? I haven't seen any of it. I'm just like, I just like, it just, yeah, it's just like a weird, like, all right, the Fast and Furious is popular enough to have like a kids show now, I guess. So. But yeah, I think so Fast 10 is gonna be next May, so just like over a year away. Justin Lin's gonna be back to direct. He's directing all he directed the last one, obviously, and then he's directing the last two, so he's gonna close the franchise. So we'll probably hear more about that like later in the year. Like I'm sure we'll get a trailer to like toward the end of the year if it's gonna be like May. Of next year, so And then we also, some other casting news, we got the casting for Netflix's live-action Masters of the Universe movie. So they have two shows, three if you count, like, there was the She-Ra show, then, like, Revelations, and then, like, the weird, like, brand new, super brand new, like, totally, like, reboot kind of thing. That was like the more like aimed at kids one. I forget what the name of that one is. Was it just Master of the Universe, or was this, it had some like weird subtitle?
I don't know.
Or it was like everyone, they're all like teens and stuff, but
Masters of the Universe, the middle school days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like two He-Man shows right now on Netflix, and then live action movies coming. Kyle Allen, who was in West Side Story recently, is going to be Prince Adam / He-Man.
I wonder if they're going to do the thing where when he really transforms into He-Man, he's like double the size.
Or
they're going to do that, like he just takes his shirt off.
Or like Incredible Hulk, like MCU Hulk style, just like put his face CGI'd over like a CGI body or something.
Put it over like a bodybuilder.
Yeah. But yeah, I think so. Kyle, I don't think he really hasn't done a lot other like a ton of stuff like He was on the Hulu show, like The Path, and he's been a bunch of TV stuff. He was on American Horror Story Apocalypse, that season of American Horror Story, and then yeah, the Path with Aaron Paul, that Hulu show, and yeah, then West Side Story recently, and then this movie's gonna be directed by the Nee brothers, who are gonna be directing that that Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum movie that's coming up like in a couple months, Lost City.
Yeah.
So that
was a trailer.
So they directed that one, and then I think this is the next one they're working on, which is going to be this He-Man Master Universe show, and it's a Mattel / Netflix joint venture. And it was going to be a Sony like theatrical movie, and then Netflix bought it, so now it's going to be a Netflix original movie. And I don't think there's a release date yet. So probably a year or two off here, I would imagine. But I mean, Netflix is definitely trying to like get as many, like, I don't know if you saw, like, they put out like a trail, like a kind of like, here's like a super fast, like every movie we're going to release this year. Cause like they're going to release a movie every single week this year, starting like this weekend. And then it's like every single week, there's going to be like some sort of Netflix movie.
That's cool. We're going back to that like release. We saw that like last year. That was like every month there was like a new movie.
Well, I mean, yeah, month, but now it's like every week.
Yeah, but it's like that's a cool pace. But how many of these gonna be winners?
Yeah. How many gonna be good? That's the question. But yeah, I guess we'll keep on an eye out for whatever some more news out of this Master of the Universe movie, and then what other He-Man stuff Netflix has planned, because it seems like they're like really like going all in on He-Man stuff. And then last bit of news is there's been quite a bit of like just Paramount Plus randomness, like just like renewals or like new shows and stuff. So we'll just do a quick like rundown of like Paramount Plus stuff. So they are getting they renewed Knights, what was it? Mayor of Kingstown, The Game, and SEAL Team. So if you're a fan of any of those shows, those all got second seasons. They're going to be making an Urban Cowboy show, if you remember like that John Travolta movie from like the 80s, I think.
I've never seen it.
they're making a new show based on that. They are getting... there's something else. There's some other big show that like, or like new thing that we're getting, but Oh, they're getting a Kiefer Sutherland like spy show. So maybe like kind of a return to like Jack Bauer style Kiefer Sutherland, but like it's gonna be it's called Rabbit Hole.
All right.
It's gonna be like an 8-episode series, and Kiefer's gonna play James Weir, who's like an espionage agent who finds out that like it sounds very like I'm gonna return to like 24 style. Like he's like a some sort of like covert op who gets caught up in like this like crazy like there's like conspiracies and like misinformation and like people like higher ups in the government trying to like destroy the like the US government or something. Like it sounds very 24. So that's
I
gonna be
thought
coming.
24 was getting another reboot too, wasn't
I mean, there was like the last one we got was like that the one with like what's his name? It was 24 Legacy.
Yeah, which did have no connection to Kiefer
Corey
Sutherland's
Hawkins.
character.
I mean, I think it was in the like 24 universe, but like it had nothing to do with anything that had come before it, basically. But yeah, Corey Hawkins was the star of that one. And then they didn't do like there no second season for that or anything. And then there was like the weird talk of like, well, what if we made like a 24, but it was like a legal thriller? Like that was like
What?
last. They're talking like, well, what if you made a 24, but it was about a lawyer, and it was, and then it had 24 hours to, like so, like for this trial or something. So that was like one of the things they tossed out. And then there's always been like, well, maybe we'll do a new maybe we'll Kiefer will be back for a new season, maybe. You never know, like. But then he was like doing like Designated Survivor, and now he's got this new show. So, and then, well, it's not. I mean, it's Paramount adjacent, but like, we also got news that like, I mean, the most obvious news in the world, Yellowstone got renewed for season 5 because it's like literally the most watched show on television, I think. Yeah, it's yeah 14 million viewers for like the premiere, and then 15 million for the finale, which is like that's like if like in the current like ratings of like cable and like network is like that's like Super Bowl level, like because like most shows now get like most shows are happy with like 2 million or so or 3 million, so like 14 million for a show is like insanity. But then the weird thing is like before they launched Paramount Plus, like Paramount CBS, like they gave the right they sold the rights the streaming rights to Yellowstone to Peacock. So you can't watch Yellowstone on Paramount Plus. You have to watch it on Peacock.
What?
Yeah, they totally fucked up. They're like, we don't have like we're trying to get like which is because at the time they had CBS All Access too. They had CBS All Access going, and then they're like, but it wasn't Paramount Plus yet. But then they're like, oh, well it'll probably be, we're gonna sell the rights instead of like putting it on our CBS All Access thing. We're gonna well, because I think they were thinking like, oh, this is just CBS. Like, it's not, we're not like putting like Paramount Network stuff on this yet, or like at all. So yeah, so they sold the streaming rights to of Yellowstone to Peacock. So you literally cannot watch Yellowstone on Paramount Plus, the streaming service that has every Paramount Network series except for Yellowstone, which is the one everyone wanted for anyway. Which is why they made the prequel show, which is like Paramount Plus exclusive, like the 1883. That's like Paramount Plus exclusive. That's why they made that one. So
I didn't know there was a prequel show.
yeah, they made like a because that was like they're like, well we fucked up but can't have actual Yellowstone on Paramount Plus, so we'll make a prequel show that's only on here. So at least we have something. There was a great I think it was like the CEO of Paramount Plus or something, or like whatever, like one of the higher ups at like CBS or Paramount Plus or something was like, Yeah, like someone asked him, like, "Oh, do you regret Sunrise the Peacock?" And they're like, "Well, you can also we also do marathons like Pluto TV and like on demand on Paramount Network like live if you want to watch it there." Like they're just like, "Yeah, if you have Paramount Network on cable, you can watch sometimes we do marathons, so just like DVR it maybe, I don't know."
Maybe wait for the DVDs and own it at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's someone had to have gotten fired for that after they started seeing the ratings for Yellowstone being like it's like the most watched thing ever. But like their streaming service can't have it. Like so whoever sold it to Peacock like is probably like working in the mailroom or something now. Or fired. So yes, yeah, so that's all the Paramount Plus stuff. I think they kind of had like some sort of event or something recently that, like where all this like renewal stuff and like new show stuff came out. So, but that'll do it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, what did you see over the last week or so here?
I caught up on a few things that I wanted to see, but nothing too new.
Mm-hmm.
I finally saw the Escape Room series.
Escape Room and Escape Room Tournament of Champions.
The first movie is, how do I put this? Like, it's very neatly packaged to explain certain things, but it's also poorly like thought out of characters because like you just don't care enough about some of the characters, so when they come and go, like you're sort of like not shocked, you're more like, huh, neat, you know what I
Yeah,
mean? Like, you're not
it's.
like
I feel.
horrified, you're more like, oh, the escape room is sort of like dumb. Like, you know, like there's no like, I mean, there's like classic escape room archetypes, but, and then like very immersive, but essentially the room doesn't really try to kill you because they all want you to have a chance to get out. And then you just have to figure out like by just trial and error, which is
Well,
not like.
it's you find out eventually that it's like the classic like bored rich people are betting on this on like the dark web or whatever. So like
Yeah, like
that's
the twist is that there are rich people who are really into like survival things.
well it's,
And
that's like this particular game, but like you find out later it's like oh they just do like random games with like just like what if a bunch of like priests were like in an escape room? What would happen with that? Well, let's find out. Or like. Because like the people in the first movie for that game were all like the single they're the only survivor of some sort of like
soul
disaster.
survivors.
So like yeah.
Well, not, no, well, only the girl was and everyone else wasn't. Remember there was like a stoner? Oh, no, you're right. They were, you're right. I forgot the,
There,
it was
yeah.
like minors. It was a minor and then it was a driving accident,
Yeah.
the plane crash, and like it's forget the thing is it's kind of forgettable at times.
Yeah. Well, I think kind of like a little bit of like Saw, where it's like, yeah, you don't really care about the characters that much, but like you're just in it kind of like to see like what crazy like escape room thing is gonna pop up next. Like what's the next room gonna be like, or like what's the twist of this room or something.
Yeah, and then it feels like actually like Cube too. You know, like Cube had that, like especially
Yes.
near the
Yeah.
middle of Escape Room, where it's
And
like we have to fight each other, and then it's like you can sort of like beat the room by just figuring out the logic real quick.
Well, that's what I really like about both of them is like they really do like have like escape room style puzzles. It's just like the most absurd extreme version of it. So it's like there is like the like logic puzzles and like the like anagrams and like ciphers and stuff that you have to figure out. But like you have to figure it out while like the room's turning into a giant oven. So. Especially in the second one, like I loved like the bank one, where they're in the fake like bank vault, and they have to like figure out like there's like so many different steps for like that one to like get out of there. Like you have to use the globe and like get like use the ATM machine and then figure out, and they have to get like that like transparent overlay to like figure out what tiles to step on and stuff. Like that was
that was cool, but they kind of paced that with not enough characters to kind of like kill off, because then eventually they just start killing off characters just to kind of speed up the plot.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's what I'm like, Saw kind of does it well, where you encounter characters, you sort of understand what brings them together, and then the enough plot to get you to sort of root for them for like a second, and then, or just enough to hate them, you know, just that they get killed off, you're like, no, that makes sense, you know, it's like morally, yeah, like it's wrong, but like survivability, it makes sense. So for example, in the first movie, when like the nerd character kid just dies because the room wants it to, like he didn't make a mistake, he just died because the room was like, I guess it's time to explode the ice.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, oh, that's bullshit. Like, you know, there's no warning, there's no hype, it's just like, this is happening. And then saving near the end of the movie, where there's that room where you just need to unlock this door and it just starts crushing you if you don't get out in time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that was about, because there's little time to understand the mechanic, and then there's little, it's just like a pure death trap. Like, you know, I'm trying to figure out, like, and then same thing with like the LSD trippy room, where that room is designed to make you turn on your friend.
Well, that was,
so I just wish,
in the first one, the strobe light room, that was like the most like Saw-esque one, because that was like, there was like your poison, you had like get like an antidote, and there's only like one antidote, so like the one guy killed the other guy, because it's like, I need the antidote. Like,
was it the only antidote?
I think it was an antidote. I don't know if it was, I can't remember. It's been I saw the first one when it came out in theaters, and I haven't seen it since. So it's been four years.
One thing is, it's so not hyped up. You just kind of know that they don't trust each other. But the guy already proved that he's like aggressive.
Yeah.
He's willing to do whatever it takes to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes off like very like stereotype, and it kind of makes sense why he's totally like he's trying to kill these teens, because he's a grown up and everyone else is a teenager. So I was like, all right. Except for the minor guy. He died because of like, I guess we gave him a heart attack to try to beat the heart rate, the heartbeat challenge thing. Very Saw-like too, but they just totally messed up the room. I'm trying to think, like, they beat it, the game, sort of, but then it killed, like, most people, so there's no, they put all his effort into these traps, but everyone could die in the first or second room, and then it's like, what do you do for the rest of the time? Like, what else do you bet?
Yeah.
So, that's, like, the first movie, sort of, like, alright, I could see where this genre was going, I thought they would expand upon it, but then the second movie just is the same beats. With like newer characters, but the movie just finds reasons to kill them off. Like a lot of times they don't succumb to the puzzle because they don't know what they're doing. It's more like they're sacrificing themselves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially near the there's that like religious priest guy who like jumps into the sand pit.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't come back. He's just like, I guess I'm dead.
Yep.
And then the acid rain.
Yeah, the Resident Evil style fake New York street.
No, but what were you gonna say about the priest in the sand pit?
Oh no, I wasn't gonna say anything. I was gonna say the second one is definitely just like, yeah, definitely it's more of the same, except they just like they double down, in which is probably the worst thing it decided to do on like the like overarching plot of like the evil company, which I could not care less about.
Oh yeah, like that. So that's the thing. It's like those are the weak parts of the movie. Trying to explain why, and then sort of like fumbling with it. I did not care that there was an evil old man in the first one. Just sort of like, I'm the game master. Like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like it put him in the game.
And in the second one, like, makes him like, now they're like some sort of like global superpower who can like do anything. They can like make like an entire like FBI team, or they make an entire like fake building or something, or whatever the hell is like
some sort of fabrication team. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. Here's the thing. In the first movie, they blamed like an AI, where it's like, ooh, we do it for the computer. It generates like algorithms.
Yeah.
And then the second movie, it's like a father-daughter team.
Mm-hmm.
That's works for this organization to build puzzles of death traps. And he works out of his home. Like, they end up in his mansion complex somehow, right? Like, it just, oh, we brought you from that game to here. It's like, how far did you live from the complex?
But then they also they're taking people from the game, like they're taking like players from the game and making them the like puzzle makers.
They do?
Because they take like Deborah Ann Woll from the first movie, which she like falls in like upside down like billiards room. She falls and you're like, oh, she died in the first one. But then the second one, you're like, nope, she fell on like a trampoline mat, and then they like forced her to make like she's the one who like made all the puzzles for like the Tournament of Champions game. And then they're like, and then there's a whole thing in the second one where like she's like, the main character like Zoe finds out that like Amanda's still alive, she's like, well, they want you to be a new puzzle maker now, and they're gonna like, unless you like agree, they're gonna kill the other guy in the water cage or whatever.
I totally missed that. Maybe I went to the bathroom when that happened.
Cause they were in. It was in like the it was like a, they ended up in like a it was room like an attic or like a house, and then it was because the entire time too there's Amanda was leaving clues that she's the one who's like making everything. It's like clues like her daughter and like stuff she told like them in the first movie, and then she figures it out and it's like, oh yeah, like they forced me to make the puzzles because I fell in that like that like upside down room in the first one. And then they want Zoe to be the new, because she beat them once, and then they want, then she's gonna beat them again, so they want her to be like the new like puzzle maker.
Huh.
But then she like burst up.
I definitely saw an alternate version of this movie. Then
I think there is an alternate version. I have not seen that. I think I saw the theatrical version. I don't know what. There might have been like a I think it is the alternate version is like there's not like is there's just like a, cause I don't remember like I'm looking at that.
Yeah, you know, I saw the Seneca.
Yeah, I don't remember like
it's a game completely master or puzzle maker. Different ending.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me explain the version I saw.
Okay.
Because I was like, listen, like, what are you talking about? Like, okay. The version I saw.
Yep.
There is the person who's making these puzzles is just like some girl and some father.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
and then
I don't yeah, they're not in the theatrical version at all.
And then they like the same beats happen up until a certain point, basically. Like up until the quicksand, then the acid rain, and then it's a completely different movie.
Okay, because in the theatrical version is like after Zoe gets out of, like, the acid rain, like puzzle, she ends up in like a room that's like a child room, like some sort of like little kid's room, and that's where she finds like, oh, Deborah Ann Woll like didn't die when she fell in like the upside down room. She like they forced her to be like the puzzle maker. And then they get out of that room, and then like they tell the police, but then you find out like, oh, like, and then there's the whole thing of like, oh, my, like, so they tell the police, and then it's like there's a news report of like, oh, Minos, like, we caught them all, like they're done, like everyone's arrested, like there's no more games. But then they get on a plane and they're like, oh, by the way, like, we're still here. Yeah, that was all fake. You're idiots. We're gonna, like, you're on this plane. It's an escape room now.
Nope. Saw, totally different movie. Okay. Yep. So basically, and the extended version, it's a different subplot with, like, an evil, like, you see the face of, like, the head puzzle maker, and his puzzles come from his daughter, who kind of designs traps and inserts the memories of her childhood in there.
Okay, wow, that is that's crazy.
It's a different movie. Crazy. And then it's like the traps have little hints of what the girl like beginning was. Oh, and plus there's like a whole new opening. Like, so yeah, some of the puzzles, actually all the puzzles in the extended version are things related to the little girl's best day, like her best childhood memory.
Yeah,
they going to the bank, going to the beach, going to like
so they do that in the regular version, but then the regular version is like they make it like the Amanda character's daughter,
memories,
her memories, and then she like died or like I can't remember what happened to like that version of like that Sonia, like, because it was, yeah, okay. her daughter was just named Sonia, and then like
in that version you're talking about, it sort of ties in. It's like left field in this extended version, and it's like, yeah. Oh, so she's been like rooting in this version, she's been like leaving hints because she believes that like someone from the games could like figure out the overall clue, is that like she's asking for help in all the games that's like presented. So all these death traps that she designs, like initial, she somehow leaves clues for like someone to fabricate the room and be like, hey, should we write down like help, I'm trapped in a cage and behind this door? It's like, yeah, that's what the boss says. Like, you know, it's like no one questions that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like the whole movie, all the rooms, like it leads to like the sort of the difference of the acid rain part, and then the, like, it doesn't that part room doesn't tie in at all to the memory, but the idea is that the last room is a sauna that you have to pour, like you have to take hot coals and then put it in this like door frame that drops a magnet that you're supposed to slide the door and then open, like you get to open the sauna door, because in the beginning of the movie, it's sort of implied that this, the evil like mastermind, like he killed his wife by putting her in a sauna and like giving her like a 10% probability to escape by like setting up this puzzle. And she, like the mom character tries her best, but then dies. And then it's implied that in that 10 years since this like 13-year-old girl, like she's just been at home like building puzzles. And they do this whole big thing where Zoe Taylor Russell, like, because she like has been actively trying to figure out who like Minos company is, and then all the people behind it, like the game master has a grudge against her, so he really hates her and is trying to actively kill her in like all the games and stuff. And then the little girl, like, then not the little girl, but like the girl character, like the daughter character, is like trying to help her. It gets sloppy because it falls apart by the end, and now I know why, because it just didn't flesh out well. It's because like she also like takes her out of the game. Like the daughter character hires a henchman who's sort of in love with like daughter character to like bring her to her her father's house, because the daughter character is imprisoned in the basement in like this fancy ass house, but like in the end she's like locked in this room with a glass wall, Hannibal Lecter style, and is able to craft memories, like craft her childhood memories through like computer graphics and stuff, and like figure out. So yeah, there's like this whole other plot that happens, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, and it that's on like Deborah in this version, they don't acknowledge Deborah and Wolf. It's just like, no, it's mostly them. And yes, then it ends in a very like, the movie ends completely different. Instead of like, you know, you're trapped in another game, it ends with like the game master being killed, and then the daughter takes over. Mm-hmm. And that's it. In fact, like, Zoe and Ben, like, they just drive off. They're like, yeah, we escaped. Bye.
Wow. Yeah, because, yeah, the theatrical version is, like, it's basically the same as, like, the first one, where it's just, like, here's a setup for another one. Like, they're trapped in a plane now. End of movie.
Yeah, no, this one, I saw, like, such a weird version. I was wondering, I was like, huh. That's what I'm saying. You think the world building's bad in the first one? This one is, like, they try so hard, and it just does not make sense. It's so forced.
Yeah, because
definitely go see the extended cut. Cause it's like a different movie.
It might have to at some point. Yeah, yeah, because like the theatrical version, like the way they get out of they end up in like the like in the version you saw, like they end up like this like kind of like back like where you see all the boxes that like are all the rooms actually. It's like all these like different like it's like shipping containers basically.
No, you see like little models that are in the girl's room, the daughter character's room. She like builds the model displays and sort of like not like dollhouse style, but very architecture design blocks. So it's like, because then Zoe looks at that, she's like, oh my god, you're the master. She's like, no, like I am forced to do this, so I make these rooms, but you know, there's like I try not to make it like awful like my dad, because you know, the dad has been doing this for like 20 or so years, and he's been like a really good game master. And then he's been forcing his daughter to do it, and then she's been making death traps too. And then for some reason, the whole like I've been putting my memories into this game for some reason, and no one did any fact checks. You know what I mean? Like, no, that's the thing where I'm like, what? I get it if you force like one of the survivors to do it. I don't know why they made Anne do it. Like, why did they make her do it in the theater version?
The theatrical version is like, you find out Amanda survived the first, when she fell out of the pool room, it wasn't like a bottomless pit. It was like, she fell through like a hologram and ended up like, in like a, one of those like crash pads. And then like, they basically held her hostage and forced her to make like this new maze or new puzzles. And then they're like, Minos wants Zoe to make the new puzzle maker to make them like the next game. And then they put Ben from the first movie, like he's like trapped in like this cage that's like filling with water. But then Amanda and Zoe figure out a way to like get him out of there, and they like burn down like the last room and they get out that way. And they end up in like this like kind of back area where you see like where all the puzzles actually like all the rooms are actually in these like shipping containers, and like all like you see all the back area of like where the games were. And then they end up like they find the police, and they like the police come and like, oh yeah, we found all the bodies, we have all this evidence, like we're gonna shut them down. And then it's like, oh no, that's fake, like they were all just like actors hired by Minos. And then Zoe and Ben are like flying back home, and then like they find out the plane is like a new escape room that they have to like try to survive.
The plane part actually is explained in the beginning of the movie, because game master is planning how to set up the plane as a trap.
Yes, because like the like last scene you see in the first one, like just like the weird like non sequitur like setup of like, oh, this is random people on a plane and this is a game, like that was that's like a test for like I guess
for
then, like,
fan and stuff, right?
Yeah, for that, for those two would like be on like that actually like we're using on them if they escaped the, if they survived the game and like called the police, I guess like.
Well, they do that again. They kind of go back to that scenario of them explaining the test situation, and then he's like, okay, now I'm ready. But then they just make it, like, without incident. Mm-hmm. Well, because I guess, like, they do, like, they do try to drive, but then they try to fly, but then they do drive instead. That's still in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, but then he gets them in the plane anyway in the theatrical cut.
Yeah, so that was like part of like, because like Zoe was afraid to fly at the beginning, and then, but then now she's like overcome like another escape room, and then she's like, well, I'm like, and she thinks that Minos is gone, so now she's like, well, if they're gone, there's no chance of them like doing anything to like a plane, like the plane or anything. So I'll try to I'll fly back with you now, and then, but then it turns out no, there's like. All that police stuff was like set up, and now they're like on a plane that is like filling with seeping gas and crashing, and they have to like figure out a way to get off of it. Which, maybe if there's a third movie, they'll be like the canon ending, and we'll go from there. But
yeah, so I hope they don't go with the ending I saw, because it's just so weird.
Yeah, they're setting up like an actual face villain to be like the going forward.
Yeah, like no, they kill, like it's supposed to be like, it's so weird because you think like the villain is the dad, but he's also a villain, but then like,
well, I'm just reading like, so it like the twist is like that the daughter is actually like super evil, and like she's
more evil, but she's like controlled evil because the dad figured out like, okay, I guess evil than our family. Yeah. So like,
and she like,
cause he's
like,
the one who killed the mom. Like she's the one that set up the first trap because somehow she was messed up. Like, I don't know. And then they just
and she like saws the dad by like locking him in an old room.
Okay, so here's like the really, really dumb thing about the theater club. The girl can escape that room if she can figure out like the puzzle, mm-hmm. like this like code puzzle, and you have to like, I forgot, it's like a numbers thing or whatever, but like it blatantly shows her the answers, but it's all like patterns, and you don't know exactly what the right pattern is. Zoe helps her because of course. And then it's like, yeah, you only have 3 attempts. And she said that she tried her first attempt when she was like 18. And it's like, if after 3 attempts, the room like puts poisonous gas in there and kills you.
Mm-hmm.
If you like mess up. I don't know why the dad did this, but I guess it's to like control her and threaten her and may still make her work.
Yeah.
But then at the end, she like gets out and puts her dad in there. And then she purposely like sets off the gas, and the dad dies off screen, just sort of screaming, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was like, what? Where? And then again, Zoe and Ben just are gone at that point in the movie. There's still like 3 minutes left, and it's just like, what's? And then he's like, ah, I've been the real psycho all along. Like, okay, cool. So yeah, huh?
Crazy good stuff.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. I didn't look up I thought that was just the version I saw, and I was like, okay. And then it's like, no, there's the real version is this.
Yeah, I think there's extended cut, then the alternate cut, and the theatrical cut. So.
Oh, there's an. I didn't know there was an alternate cut.
Well, you saw the alternate cut. There's an extended cut. Well, I guess the extended cut is the alternate cut, I guess.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I thought there's another version where it tries to make sense of both versions.
Both things are in there, yeah. I don't know. I definitely wish, like, if it just been like, if it just it was just like focused on like random people in these like crazy escape rooms without the like overarching like villain or like evil company stuff, I think they would be a lot stronger. It was literally just like, yeah, like Well, I mean, I guess even like Cube got into like the weird, like, who made the cube? Like, but yeah, if they're just like, here's like a random group of people in each movie that has to like try to like solve these puzzles or whatever, and like definitely and like way less like trying to like make it like a franchise or like an overarching plot or something.
Yeah,
because
if that happened.
Because the actual puzzle rooms and stuff are like super fun, and like a lot of them are pretty clever, and like they do actually like capture kind of the idea of like an escape room, with the kind of like puzzle you have to solve. You're like doing an escape room and stuff. It's just like instead of being in like a mall, you're in a crazy fake beach that they've made somehow.
It's cool, but very, like, I like the immersion. I like the idea that it's not just, like, Saw, where it's just, like, old barbed wire and, like, you know, rusty-ass, like, metal scraps. This is, like, very Disney-esque rooms, you know, very fantasy and very future tech. Mm-hmm. With, like, realistic props and stuff. So, like, I like that. That, like, you're right, the escape room atmosphere is amazing. It's just, like, the characters and the reasoning behind it are, like, crap. So, I don't know. Only because I feel like they needed more characters to kill off in a very pacey way, but I feel like in this movie, they were just murdering characters because they had to.
So yeah, so escape room. So did you see anything else besides those two, Chris?
Yeah, I saw Netflix The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window.
Yeah, okay.
Netflix.
Yep.
It's if you haven't seen the trailer, it's a parody on all those like murder mystery thriller movies. Usually about like a woman who sees something that she shouldn't have seen, is trying to convince other people what she saw is real. So it stars Kristen Bell as a divorce woman with a deceased daughter who has a drinking problem and a fear of the rain because her daughter was eaten at a jail on Bring Your Daughter to Work Day during like a rainy day. Mm-hmm. So she now has a complex from that. And she witnesses a supposed murder across the street from her neighbor that she has a crush on. And she's trying to convince people that it's real and that her mind's not playing tricks on her, even though sometimes it does because of her like depression and her usages of wine and like pills. So the show does a fun job of setting up the world and playing around the premises of like everyone else in the world is sort of like a serious character, but she's the one who's aware of how silly things are. But it kind of becomes like the like Naked Gun, where like she sort of just plays in how silly it is and doesn't really question it, but it just is sort of aware enough to kind of point it out. But it doesn't get to that level of like parody, even though the trailer makes it seem like it's gonna be this like super funny like jokey thing. It tries to play like it's safe in the middle, where it's dark humor. A little bit of bizarre like writing. I feel like every episode was written by a different writer, so it's like inconsistent of the jokes. First episode has like a very weird beginning because of like the beats, and then it does this really fun thing where the character keeps making chicken casseroles, but she keeps like picking the chicken casserole like container in the hot oven like with her hands and forgetting that it's hot. And after the second time, she's like, why do I keep doing this? Like, she keeps saying things like that. Like, it's very, like, dumb in that way. But then it stops being funny by like the second episode. Like, not, they kind of stop doing those recurring gags, but it just doesn't get that humor back, and it's weird. Like, I thought it'd be consistently like kind of like built, set up, build up, payoff, right? The rule of three for comedy. It doesn't do that. Like, it's just like set up, set up, set up, no payoff. Like, that's the joke. Or it's like payoff but no setup. Or like, wait, what's why is this happening? Just, it's because. Or it's like they'll do a joke about like situational things around the room, and then it's sort of like, huh, that's weird, right? Yeah, okay. Like, you know, it's sort of like both characters are dumb at that moment. So the comedy is very strange. It's just not consistent in the first four episodes I've seen it. So I'm going to, you know, it's an easy watch. It's only half an hour each episode. It's not Kristen Bell's fault. She's pretty fun in this. Like, she's pretty much playing like a fun version of those like Lifetime movie characters. And so are some of the supporting characters. It's just that, like, you just don't know when the show's going to be funny. Like, it's like very, like, it kind of becomes more of a thriller than a comedy. And then some points are just like comedy, no thriller. So there's no balance to that. I definitely recommend it if you're like in the mood for something kind of like, if you've seen enough of these kind of movies, especially the title is kind of ridiculously long.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a parody of like the woman in the window, or like the girl in the train, or even Rear Window and stuff, right? Like all these kind of like psychological thrillers movies,
yeah.
It's fun
if you watch a lot of those beforehand to understand the jokes and understand what they're making fun of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, the humor of it is, like, it eventually just becomes more of, like, this. It like, parries it to the point where it becomes, like, a version of it itself. So now it just leans in. So it's just, like, you're so, like, used to the tropes that I want to see just, like, I don't know, like, a naked person show up or something. Kind of Scary Movie. Like, it's not to the level of parody like Scary Movie was, of just kind of throwing adult humor jokes at it, see what sticks.
Yeah.
It plays it safe. So, again, not bad for Netflix, but definitely, like, I feel like they could have polished the writing a little bit, or polished the joke delivery.
Yeah, when I saw the title, and I saw, like, Kristen Bell was in it, I thought it was gonna be more like Angie Tribeca or something.
Yes, that is better understanding of what the humor would be. Like, the characters and the world is silly, but no one questions it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just roll with it. This, Kristen Bell kind of points out certain things, which is what kind of takes you out of that immersion. But then certain points in the movie, the show, there's no jokes. It's just plot. It's just it's your boilerplate mystery plot of, like, the character sort of investigating and kind of building up evidence, and it just becomes like a formula. So the joke when it hits are like far and few, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, by the way, this is a humor movie. I read the synopsis, and like my fiance explained to me, like, that movie, The Girl from the Train, whatever it was, the one where the woman sees a murder on a train or something, or sees something from a train as she's passing by it. Like, the woman on the train?
Yeah.
Is it the woman on the train?
I think it's Girl on the Train. But yeah,
okay, for example, here's the thing. The Girl on the Train is probably the worst one, because the premise was that a woman sees, like, something strange in a house she passes all the time as she commutes on a train.
Yeah.
And then it's so ridiculous of how she gets into the whole investigating thing, for a nobody. Like, she really has no stakes involved. And this woman who sees the girl, like, sees an incident, like, becomes a junior detective, like, in a day. And it's, like, a silly premise. At least to me it was. This is, like, it builds up very reasonably for her to be crushing on this neighbor, seeing an incident, raising concern for the first episode. Like, she kind of goes through the steps before she kind of goes, okay, to prove that I'm not crazy that what I saw, I'm just going to start, like, figuring out how to be a detective and using my connections to investigate. So, like, it becomes competent in that, you know, which you want in a mystery thriller, but not in a parody thriller. But the girl on the train, from what someone explained to me, is, like, way sillier, and it's not a parody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's based on a novel that I imagine, like, has better pacing and better understanding, but when you watch it in the movie, it's just like, what? They're, like, shortcutting a lot of things. So, yeah, I would say give it a shot if you could, but it, no harm. No harm if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what about you, Zach?
Well, I saw a bunch of stuff. So I saw the original Taking a Pelham 1-2-3.
Ooh,
the 1974 movie, yeah. Because I got sent that from Netflix on a disc.
Ooh, classic.
Yeah, classic way to watch a classic movie. The original Taking a Pelham 1-2-3 is just like an awesome, like, 70s thriller. If you just want, like, a fun, cool 70s thriller. Like really awesome. Like Walter Matthau is the main detective who is, like, trying to, like, deal with, like this hot situation on the subway train, and then you got Robert Shaw from Jaws as, like, the like the head of the hijackers, and a bunch of other random, like, people you'll recognize, but they're just way younger than you normally see them. Like, Jerry Stiller is, like, Walter Matthau's, like right hand man kind of guy. He's just, like, a lieutenant, running like the phones and stuff at the subway station, or, like, the subway, like, main operating place.
Is he loud, like, in
kinda, yeah,
Seinfeld?
Not as loud, but, like, he introduced, and, like, he's like super annoyed that, like he's just trying to read the paper, and just, like, get out of here, like, I'm trying to read the paper. And then, like, Earl Hindman, like, Wilson from Home Improvement, is, like, one of the hijackers. He's Mr. Brown. Because that was the thing, too, about this movie, too, is, like, which I think Tarantino, like, definitely just took that, like, 1,000% from this movie, is, like, all the hijackers have, like, color, so it's, like, Mr. Blue, Mr. Green, Mr. Gray, Mr. Brown.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, obviously, like, Reservoir Dogs has, like, Mr. Pink and Mr. Brown, and, like, they all have color names, too, so I think that pretty much comes from this. But, just a fun, like, it's not action. If you're looking for, like, a ton of action, there's not really a lot of action. It's a lot more just, like, you know, Walter Matthau and Robert Shaw just kind of just, like, having, like, this, like, kind of, like, dueling each other over the radio, and, like, kind of, like, Walter Matthau's trying to, like, trying to get information, as much information as he can from, like, these, like, radio calls, and then, kind of just, like, seeing how, like, the, like, hijacker's plan is, like, unfolding and stuff. And, yeah, it just, like, fun, like 70s New York City stuff. Like, there's a great bit, like, when the hijackers are first taking over the train, like, everyone's just kind of just, like, not really, like, taking it serious, or, like, not even, like, acknowledging it. Like, just, like, all right, like, you guys want to sit down? Like, we're in the middle of the train's going, like, just sit down and, like, get away from, like, the, like, conductor thing. But then they pull out guns, and then everyone's just like, oh, okay.
Oh, now you're talking business.
Yeah. Oh, and also it has like one of the coolest scores ever too. Like the music score for it is like so funky and awesome. Like it's like 70s cool. Like so. Yeah, if you haven't seen the original Taking a Pill 123, definitely check that out. It's just a cool 70s thriller with like a lot of like people you probably recognize. And then I also saw Raging Fire, which came out last year, I believe. But this is a super recent Donnie Yen movie. And it was the last movie directed by Benny Chan, who passed away, unfortunately, in the August of 2020. And Benny Chan directed a bunch of, like, tons of, like, Hong Kong action. Some of the ones, like, everyone's probably heard of are, like, he directed Who Am I, the Jackie Chan movie, New mm-hmm. Police Story. He directed Big Bullet, which I think you and I both got to see that for, like, there was, like, some sort of, like, film festival that was showing a bunch of, like, Hong Kong action at one point a couple years ago that we got to see Big Bullet along with some other ones, which I think don't you have the DVD that I gave you, Chris?
Yep.
Big Bullet? Yeah. Yeah, that movie, Big Bullet is fucking awesome. Like, if you just want, like a John Woo-style, like, 90s, like, Hong Kong action movie, that's not John Woo. Like, Big Bullet. But, yeah, so Raging Fire is his final film. Definitely in, like, a lot of his, like, wheelhouse of it. It's, like, police and melodrama. And, like, I will say, I think the, like, kind of plot and like melodrama stuff is like there's probably too much in here, because there's a lot of dead time between the action at certain points. Like there's like lots of like flashbacks and like dramatic things happening. Sometimes it's like a pretty long time before like you get to the next action sequence, but like the action is awesome, so it's like it's sort of like a trade-off of like there is a lot of downtime, but when you get to the action is fucking awesome. So I guess just know that going in. But yeah, there's tons of like really awesome shootouts with like squibs, like all stuff you like want from like Hong Kong style action. There's one scene where like Donnie Yen is in like this like drug dealer, like it's like this like kind of like it looks like kind of like a it's like a kind of slummy area of Hong Kong, and he's like trying to like looking for this drug dealer. And then like he's like the drug dealer like calls all his guys in, and then I've never seen this. It's kind of like something I haven't seen before. But Donnie Yen takes off like his like bulletproof vest and like wraps it around his arm like a club basically. And he's using his like shielded bulletproof arm as like a to, like block all these like swords and stuff coming at him. And he's like using it and then like using his gun to, like behind it. So it's like he makes this makeshift like riot shield out of his like bulletproof vest around his arm.
Huh. Wait, how old is the movie?
It came out last year, so like it's super recent. Like yeah.
All of you guys are saying like bulletproof armor tech hasn't advanced to the point where you can just.
I don't think it's like it's gonna he uses it kind of just like to like get out of like he blocks a bunch of guys coming at him and like runs away to like get to like somewhere else, but it's just yeah, like he kind of uses like a bit of like a club because it's like heavier than like his arm normally, so he's just like beating people in the head with like his bulletproof vest wrapped arm. And there's also like a part where like he's like you know he's like Donnie Yen's in like a van and like he's like fighting like the main bad guy who's on a motorcycle like next to the van, and so he's like doing he's basically it's a car chase, but they're having a martial arts fight from like they're like from the driver's seat with like this motorcycle guy, and like so yeah, there's a lot of cool like creative like action stuff, but you do have to like get through like some like very slow melodramatic like flashback stuff and like plot drama. Because the whole thing is like the main bad guy who's played by Nicholas Say is like he's like an ex-cop. He got arrested for like beating out like a criminal like this like criminal to death because they're trying to get like information, like this like big like Hong Kong millionaire got kidnapped and like they thought this guy knew where he was, so then like the like supervisor is like, you have to get the information. This guy's like, Rich, important. You have to get Freskum no matter what. So like, they beat like the location out of this like guy. They kill him. So then like, they get arrested and like put in jail for like excessive force and like murder. And then they get out of jail and they're like, now like it's this whole kind of crew of ex-cops and now they're like looking for revenge against everybody because they got put away.
Right.
And then he also used to be like Donnie Yen's like partner, like protege. Right. Yeah. So
I heard this movie did really well, like in theaters, like, or in like the market.
Yeah, I think it was a huge hit in like Hong Kong, China, Asia. That, and then it was like it's on. I think it's on. I got it from. I rented it from like Google Play. It's on like whatever VOD service you want to get. But it's also if you have Hiya, like that like streaming service. It's another like just random stream. It's like I think it's kind of like Shudder, but for like martial arts movies and stuff. It's on there if you have that. If you have Hiya, you can watch it. But yeah, I say definitely check it out. Just be prepared for like some downtime. But I think the action mostly is worth it to get through like the kind of the slow parts. Like the big final action sequence is basically like the Hong Kong like action version of like the shootout from Heat. Basically, it's this huge big shootout in the middle of like the city streets. But yeah, so yeah, definitely check that out, and then worth checking out if you're a fan of Donnie Yen or Hong Kong action. And then I also I saw a bunch of the recent like DC animated / WB animated movies because they're all I think pretty much up to like I'm not sure what the most recent one is that's on there, but like the majority of them are on HBO Max now, so you can like watch like pretty much all the like DC movies up to like a certain point. Whatever the most recent one probably isn't on there yet, but like very like once from like a couple months ago on there. And then also the new Mortal Kombat one, which is one of the ones I saw. So I saw Mortal Kombat Legacies or Mortal Kombat Legends Battle of the Realms, which is the second animated movie. It's a sequel to Scorpion's Revenge. And yeah, it's fun. Like it's definitely like if you like Scorpion's Revenge, you'll definitely like the Battle of the Realms if you haven't seen it. Just as brutal as Scorpion's Revenge. Like it is like Battle of the Realms is absurdly brutal. Like if you want like if you're looking for that like that like the Mortal Kombat like ultra violence, like it the anime like Battle of the Realms has it in spades. Like it's like tons of fatalities, people just like getting like blown up in horrible like crazy horrible ways. Like it's insane. And it's basically
I want to give it a shot. I feel like from what I understand, it's pretty like enjoyable by everyone who's like a fan of what the Mortal Kombat movie should be.
Yeah, I think Battle of Realms is sort of like it's sort of like a mishmash of like Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, because it's basically like there's like a cliffhanger from like the from Scorpion's Revenge where like Outworld was invading, like the armies of Outworld were coming in, so like basically the Battle of Realms starts out with like Earthrealm was like at war with Outworld, so like all the heroes from like Earthrealm are like trying to like stop like the Outworld invasion, but then Shao Kahn shows up and is like, hey, we'll have one final tournament for everything. If I win, all the realms get merged immediately. If you win, then like there will be no more Mortal Kombat, and then also like we'll leave or whatever. So that's kind of like the whole thing is like now it's the final Mortal Kombat tournament for everything. And so you have Jax and Johnny Cage and Sonya and Striker and Kung Lao and Liu Kang for Earthrealm, and then you got like bunch like Jade and Riko and Kentaro and Shang Tsung and Shao Kahn himself are fighting in like the for like Outworld. So you just get a ton of like one-on-one fights between people and like people getting like horribly murdered. But there's also like a there's also this subplot of like, where you have like it's like they bring like Sub-Zero's brother, who's looking for revenge against Scorpion, and then also like the like whole like, oh, they're turn like the Lin Kuei are turning everyone to robots.
That jumps real quick.
Yeah, and then also you also have like the who was trying to like bring like Shinnok back. Oh no, it is Shinnok. So Shinnok is like kind of like trying to like behind his like this. He's like kind of running the whole like Sub-Zero Scorpion plot of, like because he wants to like bring back like
Quan Chi. One...
No, like Shinnok is like one of the, like he's like one of the elder gods, but he kind of got like cast down like because he's like crazy. So like he's not an elder god anymore. Like he is. But he sort of like runs hell basically. He's like Hades for Mortal Kombat world. But he's trying to bring back like the one being who's like before like the elder gods there was like this one god, but then the elder gods like broke him into like, different pieces. So he's like his whole like crazy thing is like I'm gonna bring back the one god, like have him destroy everything. So that's basically like the Scorpion Sub-Zero plot is like, oh, like we gotta stop like these like all the pieces of like this one like this like original god from like being collected so that Shinnok doesn't destroy the world.
As you do.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. But it's definitely, if you're disappointed by like the like live action movie, I think it definitely check this one out because this is definitely gonna probably give you like the a lot of the Mortal Kombat stuff you're looking for. And then kind of in the same vein, I also saw the Injustice movie. Which came out, was that last year? Yeah, I think that came out last year, like early last year, which also based on the game, also based on the comics. It's pretty good. It's not as good as like the Mortal Kombat movies. And I'd say it's sort of like mid-tier DC animated. I think the main thing is it's just kind of weird. It feels like much more like casual than like the like games or like the comics where it's like, because it starts out the same way, but then like where like, you know, the Joker tricks Superman like blowing up like killing Lois and like setting off a nuclear bomb in fucking Metropolis, but then like in the games and the comics like that goes to like then Superman like that basically takes over the world and it has like this like police force like he like is like running the planet as like a like totalitarian dictator, but then in this movie he's kind of doing stuff, but like everyone's just sort of like, oh well, like, and like it like he's not like taking over the planet, he's just like I'm just gonna like do what I think is like right, I'm gonna like stop dictators from like causing like genocides and stuff, and like I'm not, if this country is gonna have nukes, I'm gonna stop them. But like he's
going around like dispelling his own justice.
Yeah, so he and Wonder Woman are basically like we're gonna not wait for anyone to like tell us what to do. We're gonna take it in our own hands, and, like stop everything, and like bring peace to the earth.
But then, whether they want it or not.
Yeah. But like he's still like it's like the UN is still running, like the US government's still running. It's not like the games where it's like he took over, like he fully took over. It's like he has his like police force, his army, and like and then like Batman is like a guerrilla force against them. It's like Batman and like the other heroes are still doing their own thing. It's just like should we maybe do something about Superman? Like he's going a little overboard.
Oh, like should we address this?
Yeah, it just the urgency of like the games was not there. I felt like it takes like forever for them to like even to be like, oh, this is like getting out of hand. Like,
oh, like is it just like, oh, this is unchecked? Like it's slowly built on like the day two when like Lois dies, and then they do that. Like that's when Superman goes berserk. He starts murdering all the villains. So he doesn't do that? Like, it's more like, like Joker kills Lois, and then he's just like, I'm gonna start small.
Well, he's not like I'm gonna take over the entire planet like by force. And then the movie is just like, well, I'm going to North Korea is like threatening the world with nukes. I'm gonna go and like just like basically like disband North Korea and be like, you're done. Like, you have no nuclear weapons anymore. And see, so but he's doing it like more of like a heavier hand than you normally would be doing it, which is like, that's like what initially is like Bam is like, oh, don't go too far, like you're going too far now, like you're like you like don't lose yourself to like your anger or whatever. Like, but yeah, it doesn't have like the like everyone just seems like very casual about like Superman and Wonder Woman like just like imposing like they're like them deciding like what is like justice and what is like good for the planet. And it takes a really long time for it to be like, oh, things are like escalating now, so we should probably do something about this. And they also I feel like they also like kind of cop out because like toward the end they're like, well, you know, Superman isn't really the bad guy, like Ra's al Ghul is the bad guy. So
why is Ra's al Ghul involved?
Because he is like because Damian Wayne Robin is like, oh, I agree with Superman, like we should like be like killing people and doing things more like trying to stop things more like more than we are right now. So then like he goes to like his grandfather Ra's al Ghul is like, hey, like Superman, like my grandfather wants to help you like with your like goals or whatever. And then Ra's al Ghul like makes Amazo, you know, like the like indestructible android who like can steal people's powers. Okay. But then that's like that was like his whole like secret plot of like I'm really just testing Amazo and I'm gonna use him to kill you and then I'm gonna like use them to like take over the world or whatever. So
what? So they kind of make like a new villain, so it's not just crazy Superman.
Yeah, it feels like kind of a cop out. Like, well, we're not gonna go full like Superman as like a crazy like dictator. Like in the end, he's gonna there's an actual like villain who's like is like doing something. So, and it also like doesn't have any of the like until like the very very end. Like, it doesn't have any of like the alternate universe kind of like none, like the like regular DC universe like group doesn't come and like help like Batman or anything.
Oh, it's just like, mostly like Batman just tries to stop Superman and it's a handful of heroes show up.
Yeah, it's pretty much just all like on like the Injustice Earth for like 90% of the movie, and then like in the end you get a little bit of like the alternate universe like people coming in, or like one person comes in, but yeah, it's okay, it's definitely I put it toward like the middle of like the DC animated stuff. And then last thing I saw, which I definitely much better than Injustice, and I say maybe toward the top of the DC animated stuff, is I saw Batman Blood of the Dragon, which I think came out, was that a 2019 one, I think? But this is basically like the like Bruce Lee blaxploitation DC anime movie that like they're just like fully leaned into like that sort of style. So it's like set in the 70s, and it's all like the martial arts DC characters, which, you know, obviously Batman is like on this team obviously because he's a character, but also like you got like Richard Dragon, you got Bronze Tiger, you got Lady Shiva. And then the setup is like they were all like martial arts students together at this like special like this like kind of like what's the place from like Iron Fist, like Kung Lao or something, the secret city,
mystical school.
Yeah, so basically like they're all students at this like mystical kind of like It's in like the mountains, but then you go in like this special door. It's like tropical, warmer. Like it's in the middle of the mountains, but it's like this warmer oasis kind of thing. And then there's like Oh Sensei, who's like a kind of Kill Bill style like instructor. Although he's much friendlier than the Kill Bill Sensei, but like he's training them all in like martial arts. And so basically like the setup is like Bruce Wayne went there to like as part of his like Batman training, but then like he met all these other like martial artists there. But then they all like so it's like years later they have to like all like team back up because like oh who's the, it's there's like a yeah there's like a new there's like the main villain is like trying to break into like this like gate that was at the like in like the like the like training ground that like has demons. It's holding back demons basically, and he wants like unleash the demons.
Oh, okay, that part's surprising. I forgot there was demons involved.
Yeah, and it's all like it's like Cobra, like the DC version of like the character Cobra, like all like who like had like it was like the co like I think it was like the Cobra cult or something, or like the like they were like they were it's basically it's like cult that's like trying to like bring these demons back. And then so then like because it's like where they're all training, and because they're like masters like involved, like that they all this like this team gets back together to like go stop them. But yeah, it's super 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 fun. It has kind of like the like Batman animated series style animation and like character design, but just like in the 70s kind of. So it's like a 70s version of like Batman animated series. And voice cast is awesome because they basically like have every like the cast is all like martial arts people. So it's like Mark Dacascos is Richard Dragon, and like Michael Jai White is Bronze Tiger, and Kelly Hu is Lady Shiva.
That's cool. Let's have some
And
pedigree.
yeah, and then David Giantoli from Grimm is Batman. He's a solid Bruce Wayne Batman. And then James Hong is like Oh Sensei, so he's like a fun he's a very like kind of like like kind of light jokey kind of like sensei, like he's like constantly like doing riddles or like making jokes about that like stuff. But yeah, definitely if you like if you haven't seen that one, definitely check that one out. Yeah, it's super fun. Really like the score is just all like so it's like funky to the max. Like it's like if you like it's super blaxploitation, just like funky like the funky like score style, like Shaft or something. And yeah, and then yeah, just totally leans into like the like 70s like Bruce Lee blaxploitation. Even there's even some like James Bond kind of stuff in there, because like there's the whole like opening where like Richard Dragon basically has like this like opening like kind of James Bond adventure basically, like it's like mini opening cold open where it's like he's like James Bond like breaking into like this like mansion to like get like info and stuff. So yeah, super definitely worth checking out if you're looking for like one of the more recent DC animated movies to watch. And yeah, there's I think almost all of them are up there. Like Long Halloween 1 and 2 are up there now, and like yeah, and Injustice was the last one. So like yeah, everything up to Injustice is up on HBO Max right now, I think. So, and then I think the Catwoman one is like next week, I think, but that's not gonna be on HBO Max probably for a couple months. So.
The Haunted.
Yeah, Catwoman Hunted is gonna be like I think like next week or something, and but that's gonna it's gonna be DVD Blu-ray first, and then it'll be on probably on HBO Max in like a couple months. I think it seems like time frame is like a couple months after it's out, it's on like HBO Max. So, but yeah, definitely I'm definitely gonna try to check out more because there's like I was like watching them regularly for like a while, and then I kind of just like I don't know if they were just coming out like too fast or like I just got like watching other stuff. But, like, I kind of like fell off of like watching them for a while. So there's like a ton I have to like catch up on. But yeah, then all on HBO Max, so I can do that. So,
cool.
And that's it for me this week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We've got all of our regular stuff up there. We're gonna have our movie commentary coming up later this month. Which, you know, speaking of karate stuff and martial arts stuff, we're going to be watching Triple Threat, the Tiger Chen, Iko Uwe, Tony Jaa team up movie. Because we're also celebrating the Year of the Tiger, so you know, Year of the Tiger, Tiger Chen, if it's. Yeah, so that'll be up later this month. So come back, check that out, and then check out all of our stuff up there as well. You can still like watch and listen to last month's commentary, which was my blank. What did we do last month, Chris? Oh, Free Jack. Yeah, that's up there. You still listen to that and all of our other commentaries as well. So head over, check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.